Chapter 19, John chapter 19, and today we're going to continue our series, The Cry of the Cross. Pastor Ricky will be preaching the sixth cry tonight. I'm going to preach the fifth cry this morning. But once again, we come to Calvary, where the Son of God died, that the sons of men could become the sons of God. Yes. Calvary, where we come to bring our sorrows, to receive joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Calvary, where the dying Savior invites all men to come and find life that never ends. Calvary, where Christ gave all that he had so we could receive all that heaven has. Calvary, the greatest expression of God's love. Calvary, where we see God at his best and men at their worst. In these messages, we have been watching Jesus as he dies upon the cross. We have heard him pray for his persecutors. We have heard him promise eternal life to a thief. We have heard him make provision for his mother. We have heard him cry out in the darkness as he is forsaken of God. And as we come to the cross today, death is very near. The darkness is now gone. The sun is shining once again. And look at John 19 and 28 with me. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Here we see Jesus as a man. And as a man, he has a human need. Jesus wanted us to remember that he was a human. And that in the suffering, and the cry that came through his parched lips that day, I thirst, he was suffering. Was he suffering and crying for water? Yes, sure he was. He was a man. He was human. His mouth was parched. His throat was burning. And his whole body is now racked with pain. But the thirst that he had was much, much more than that. He had been forsaken of God. And he was thirsty for the presence of God. I don't know if you've ever thirsted for God's presence or not. I don't know if you've ever had a need and you've wondered, where is God? I want to tell you, God is where he's always been, and all people have a thirst. And I'm going to address that in this message. But today I want to talk to you about the thirst that Jesus said, I thirst. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the songs. Lord, thank you for this series. Holy Ghost, roll back the veil. Help us to see the complete work of the cross. Because, Lord, in the cross there is salvation. There is deliverance. There is healing. There are answers and miracle-working power for the people of all ages. And, Lord, we're a people that have need today. And so, Holy Ghost, I ask you to anoint me to preach your word. And I praise you for all that you do. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. I'm not your average preacher, and I realize that. So I'm going to do something very unconventional today. Anytime that the Holy Ghost speaks to you, and you feel like he's talking to me, I'm taking my need to the cross. You can come to this altar, and you and the Lord can have a little talk. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. If I feel impressed of the Spirit, I'll call some people to pray for you. If I don't, then you just talk to God about the need that you have. The Lord has spoken that to me 3 times. And he'll lead me, and he'll guide me, and he'll lead you, and he'll guide you if you will come to him. Don't come to the preacher. Don't come to a song leader. Don't come to the choir. Come to Jesus. And I promise you, if you'll bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, you'll walk away free, because whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Now we hear the cry, I thirst. This gives me some insight into the details of the scriptures. Every detail of the crucifixion, it had been written down beforehand in the Bible. The soldiers had a vessel of vinegar nearby, and one of them dipped the sponge in the vinegar and pressed it to our Savior's lips. Now look at this, Psalm 69 and 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. This is one of the reasons that we know that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It predicts a thing in such minute detail that no human could ever dream of it. And then hundreds of years later, it is fulfilled according to the Scriptures. I have 3 points today. Point number one, Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered. David, you do such a great job with those graphics. It makes me thirsty. Amen. Thirst is a terrible thing. And our Savior cries on the cross, I thirst. Death by crucifixion is said to be one of the most painful modes of torture ever conceived by man. We see pictures on the national news today of Christians that are being beheaded and burned to death by ISIS. Radical Muslims, they do it in the name of a holy war they call jihad. And it's terrible to watch what they do to people. I don't know if you've ever seen bodies mutilated or not, but it's a terrible thing. And crucifixion by the cross was a terrible, terrible death. It was an awful thing, and it was not a prolonged death either. But a crucifixion was where the blood is slowly drained away, and as it does, it brings on an intensive thirst. We have famines in many parts of our world where people are starving to death, and we send money out of this church to help those people. Little bellies that are swollen. Hunger is a painful thing, but nothing compared to the pangs of thirst. I can remember in Vietnam and how it was so hot, and sometimes we would take 8 canteens of water, a flak jacket that weighed 22 pounds, an iron pot on your head, a rifle that weighed 8 pounds. We had ammo all over us. We had hand grenades strapped to our legs. We were carrying mortars on our back. We had little logs, little rockets that they could, and it was so hot out there that we had to carry extra water. And it was wonderful when you see that chopper come in bringing fresh water. Amen. Thirst is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And if you've ever experienced the pangs of that, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Hunger's painful, but nothing compared to thirst. No wonder after 6 hours of hanging on the cross that Jesus cried out, I thirst. Let's look at what preceded that cry, and it will help us to understand some of the physical suffering that Jesus went through. I think America needs a revival. I think America needs to reach up to God that can do anything and everything if you'll cry out to Him. I think America needs to get serious, because God was serious when He sent His Son to Calvary's cross, and He bled and died. And He died to give us life, and that more abundantly, to give us eternal life so we would not have to die and go to a devil's hell. And if you're saved this morning, you ought to be praising God and thanking God no matter what you're going through. Hallelujah. You ought to have a glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, in your soul. And you ought to announce it to the world and say, I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen. That was some things that led up to this thirst that Jesus was experienced physically. The night He instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room, He spoke to His disciples, and then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. There He passed through great agony as He prayed 3 times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup of death pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. His soul was exceeding sorrowful unto death, and His prayer was so intense that it was like great drops of blood. He was betrayed by Judas and arrested in the middle of the night, and He was taken before Caiaphas, where He was examined and condemned, and Peter denied Him. He was then there until the morning without rest. Then He was taken before Pilate, where He went through a lengthy trial. After that, He was taken before Herod, where He was mocked and ridiculed. Then He was taken back to Pilate, and Pilate had Him scourged. The Bible says that Jesus willingly gave his back to the smiters so that by his stripes, you and I, we could be healed. A crown of thorns was jammed down upon his brow, and the soldiers mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Pilate wanted to let him go, but his own people cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he was sentenced to death. The heavy cross was placed upon his bleeding back, and the journey down the Via Dolorosa, it was begun. We've gone there. We walked the Via Dolorosa, my wife and I. The way of the cross. Have you walked the way of the cross yet? Have you walked down to the foot of the cross and totally surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? He took the cross and he bore the journey, bore it in his journey down the Via Dolorosa. Weak from all of this that he had endured, he fell beneath the load. And another man was commanded to take up his cross and carry it. When they reached the top of Calvary, his hands and his feet, they were nailed to the cross. The cross was then lifted up and it dropped into the socket, and his body convulsed with pain, and it was suspended between heaven and earth. He hung there for 3 hours in the noonday heat. And for 3 hours he hung there in total darkness. And in the darkness, he's all alone. He is abandoned, forsaken of men, forsaken of God. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief when he made his soul an offering for sin. He is separated from the Father by sin, not his sins, but our sins. And he cries out in his anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now his whole body is racked with pain. God has forsaken him. His mouth is parched. His throat is burning. Look at all he went through. No wonder he cries, I thirst. He is suffering both physically and spiritually. He has been cut off from his communion with the Father. But it's all prophetic. And Jesus is treading the winepress alone, just as the scriptures had foretold. Look back with me at Psalms 42 and 3. He says, my soul thirsteth for the living God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. So here we see that his thirst is not only physical, but his thirst is spiritual. I believe once a person is touched by the power of God, there's something in them that says, I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. I thirst for more of you, Lord. I thirst for your presence. I thirst for your miracle working power. I thirst for you in my family. I thirst for you in my home. I thirst for you in my life. I have a thirst, Lord. And the only thing I'm satisfied with is the fact I've never been satisfied. That's so much more to God than we've ever experienced. I thirst, cried. I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. I thirst, Lord. I thirst for the living God. Hallelujah. It's all right to cry that. Amen. Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. He's called the Word, the Logos, the Eternal One, the Ancient of Days. Yet he has this thirst. Look at John 1 and 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Bible goes on to say, in him was life. And the light shined into the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, that's not enough darkness to extinguish the glorious gospel light. Hallelujah. When we stand and preach, oh, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, the incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus had to come through the loins of the Father, an incorruptible seed, because Adam had blood that was contaminated. So he came all the way from heaven to earth's manger, glory to God, to redeem and save you and me. John said it like this, said the Word was made flesh. He said, we beheld His glory. Look at John 1:14. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Oh, He's so full of grace. He's so full of mercy. He sees your need. He's touched by the feelings of your infirmity. He was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. You're not going through anything, and I'm not going through anything that He hasn't already suffered, bled and died and paid the price. Oh, get a hold of the cross. Get a hold of the suffering Savior. Get a hold of what He's done. Can you hear Him cry? Thirst. Jesus was God in the flesh. That's what John was telling us. And on the human side, He came down into this world. He was born of a human mother, and He lived an earthly life. And He talked, and He laughed, and He wept, and He had all of the other normal human emotions. You don't have an emotion. I don't have an emotion that He did not have. As a man, He grew tired. But as God, He could say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. My Lord, what a Savior. As a man, amen, He grew thirsty. But as God, He could say, but he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. For it shall be a water, a well of water springing up into eternal life. Hallelujah. Like I said, I'm not thirsty for the things of the world. The only thing I'm thirsty for are the things of God. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I'm looking to see people live in victory while they're on this planet. And that's why I preach the everlasting gospel. I'm a debtor, but I could never pay him. But maybe I can help you. Hallelujah. Maybe I can just say something under the anointing that will cause you to cry out, oh God, help me. I'm desperate, Lord, and I know you have mine answer. Glory to God. As a man, he grew weary and he went to sleep in the hinder part of the ship. But as a man, he arose, rebuked the storm and the wind, and whispered, peace, be still. And the disciples marveled and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey his voice? As a man, he went to Lazarus' tomb, and the Bible says Jesus wept. It's already all right to weep. But you don't have to stay in a weeping season forever. It's a human emotion. There's a time for all things. There's a time to weep, but then there's a time to get up and go on with life. Hallelujah. Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. But as God, he said, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had been dead for 4 days, he came forth and lived again. As a man, he walked a man among suffering humanity on the streets of forgotten men. But as God, he healed the sick, stilled the storm, cast out devils, raised the dead, and offered forgiveness of sins to the sinner. As a man, he was despised and rejected of men. But as God, he had the approval of the Father who said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter summed up his entire ministry with these words. Look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Don't wonder where God is. God is where God has always been. He's on the throne. He's watching his Son. And he watches you and me. And he watches over us with infinite care. Amen. Your problems don't come from God. Your problems come from the devil. So if you want to know from a biblical standpoint what to do, get mad at the devil. Get so mad, say, I'm going to bring a bunch of people to church on Easter. Get so mad that you say, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. Saw a sign yesterday. It said, if prayer was your occupation, would you still be employed? I might put that on the marquee. If prayer was your occupation, would you still be employed? As a man, Jesus suffered everything you and I will ever suffer. Yes, Jesus is truly the Son of God and the Son of man. 100% God, 100% man. And on the human side, he suffered such great agony that he cried out, "I thirst." Here is the evidence of his humanity. God does not thirst. Angels do not thirst. We will not thirst when we get to heaven. Look at Revelation 7:16. See, heaven's going to be wonderful. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm so glad right before we go into heaven, God's going to say, wait a minute, what's that in your eye? I got to wipe that tear out. Come on in. There'll be no tears in heaven. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no pain. God said, "Behold, I make all things new." We're in this world. We're not of the world. And we got touched by a divine hand. God says, "You're a new creation in Christ." So start acting like it. Get happy that your name's in the book. Hallelujah. Jesus thirsted on the cross because he was human. The God-man suffering and dying for our sins. Why did Jesus become human? Have you ever wondered why? Why did he take upon himself the form of a man? Why didn't God just send him to the earth as a full-grown man and let him die for our sins? Why did he bring him through the womb of Mary, through the stable of Bethlehem, and through the carpenter's shop of Nazareth? Surely he came that way so he could experience all the trials, all the tests, all the difficulties, and all the disappointments of human life. He wanted to understand our joys. He wanted to understand our sorrows. He wanted to understand our victories. He wanted to understand our pain. And so God took upon himself human flesh. He was formed and fashioned as a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, what love. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, how he loved you and me. Is your body racked with pain today? I want you to look at this. Sister Darnell had it in her song, Isaiah 53:5. And I want you to leave that up there. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Jesus is providing total redemption for the total man. He was wounded or killed. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. There's your sin taken care of by the blood of the cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. There's your mind. If you're being tormented in your mind, bring it to the cross. He knows your emotions. He knows your hurts. He knows your pain. So he took care of the spirit first, then he took care of the soul, and third it says, by his stripes we're healed. He took care of our physical need. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppression comes from the devil. Just that simple. Brother Elam told me this morning, said, "Pastor, don't you know? You know the scriptures. The violent take it by force." I just be real transparent and honest. Sometimes I have a problem with me because I'm a United States Marine. It's just down inside of me. But I'm a soldier of the cross. And I, that violent side of me, I'll tell you what, it can take the devil out because the violent take it by force in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood and the scriptures. But that same force, I have to watch it. Because I have to realize it's the devil and not people. Amen. Maybe you're wondering why you have the problems you have. It's the devil. It's not people. Learn to love people. Just do the best you can. Work through it and say, "I love you." I had to do that yesterday to a man. And when I saw him, I held my arms out to him. I embraced him. And I said, I love you. I wanted him to know that something inside of me called Jesus. And whether you love me or not, I choose to love you. You have to work through things like that. Paul even had to do it. He said, if I forgave anything for your sake, forgave I it in the person of Christ. At least Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant concerning his devices. But Isaiah 53:5, it sums up his suffering. 700 years before the cross. They didn't even know about Roman crucifixion. The Romans hadn't come up with that terrible way of torture. But he saw it. He was a seer, a prophet of God. And God took care of your total needs, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. But let us never forget all of his benefits. He forgives all our sin, the psalmist said. He heals all our disease. He crowns our lives with loving kindnesses, tender mercies. Oh, he's so merciful. He's so wonderful. Oh, he understands you. He understands your pain. He understands everything about you. He understands everything you're going through. So the cross is where we bring our burdens. That old song said, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Jesus hung upon the cross for 6 hours. He gave all that he had. And he endured the agony of the cross for you and me. Oh, if you can just see it. If you can just see him. And sometimes I just have to get alone so I can see it again. But I can find him walking through the pages of this book right here. He gave all that he had for you and me. And he endured the agony of the cross. And now with the victory won, he thinks of his own human need. And he cries, I thirst. Which brings me to my third and final point. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy our thirst. The things of this world, no matter how great they are, they can never bring permanent satisfaction. Now, they can bring some temporary satisfaction. Sin has pleasures for a season. But that's it. I'll tell you what, if you live in this world and you live the best that you can live, you're going to have heartaches, you're going to have sorrows, you're going to have suffering, and you're going to have pain. The whole creation is in groaning because of what happened when the first Adam transgressed God's law. But see, the last Adam, it's interesting to me that he came. It was the tree of life. The tree of life was in that garden. That was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they broke God's law and ate of the wrong tree. And so death reigned upon all men. But God chose a tree to fix it. Hallelujah. He created that tree. And guess what? In the New Jerusalem, there will be a tree with 7 manner of fruit for the healing of nations. I don't know what that means, to be honest with you. I'm going to have a glorified body. You will too. But there will be people that will be born on this planet, and the New Jerusalem is going to come down to this earth. And they might just need healing. I don't know if it's figuratively or if it's literal. But I know one thing. There's a tree with 7 manner of fruit for the healing of the nations. But Jesus is the only one who can satisfy your thirst. Man is a thirsty creature, and he is always looking to satisfy his thirst. Maybe you'll find yourself somewhere in here, even though you're saved. One man thirsts for wealth, and he'll do anything to get it. Another person thirsts for alcohol and drugs and the party life and a temporary thrill, only to find heartache, sorrow, and disappointment. You'll never find your answers in the way of the world. You'll find your answers in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One man, he thirsts for honor and promotion, and he will give up his convictions and make any compromise to reach the top. Surely you've known people like that. One man is thirsty for the things of the flesh, and he breaks his marriage vows to find pleasure that only lasts for a short season. One man thirsts for knowledge, for fortune, for fame. And he searches high and low to find it, only to be disappointed, because only Jesus can satisfy a soul. When God created man, he formed him from the clay of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That was God's way of saying, you will always be connected to me. No matter how far you go out in sin, no matter how far you go away from me, I want you to know you will always be connected to me. You see, there's a little chamber in every person's heart that belongs to God. And that little chamber, it longs and it thirsts to know the true and the living God. God did that on purpose because he knew man would sin. He knew man would go away from him. But he put that longing in our hearts. I long for his presence. I long for revival. I'm like the psalmist. Oh God, I pray it over and over. And I'm sure some of you do. Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? We need him. We don't need stuff. We don't need programs and fashion. We don't need that kind of stuff. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. We need to pray until the glory falls in the church once again. You can't sing it down. You can't shout it down. I can't preach it down. If I could, I would. But I know one thing, we can pray it down. God said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Hallelujah. Send it on down, Lord. Send revival. We don't need a form and a fashion. We don't need a name out there on the church door. No, we need Holy Ghost power. We need Pentecostal holiness power. Glory to God. Nobody will see God without holiness. The pure in heart shall see God. And that means down here, and that means up there too. You won't make it if you don't live a holy life. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God help us. Hallelujah. Some people try to deny that God is there. But he cannot deny himself, and he cannot deny his love for you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm so glad he chose me. I'm so glad he touched my life with that nail-scarred hand. Aren't you glad that he reached down? He had to reach way down for me, for I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, now my soul can rejoice, cause I made him my choice. Woo! Cause he told me I could be free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can be free. You don't have to drag those chains around. You don't have to be sorrowful. You don't have to go around with the mully grubs. Glory to God. Jesus is a chain breaker. Woo! And I know he broke every chain off of my life. Hallelujah. Alcohol, I have no desire for it. To run around with the party crowd, I have no desire. Why, Pastor, did you do all that? Sure I did. And most of you did too. We were born and conceived in sin and iniquity. And God had to kill his Son on the cross so you and I could be saved and be free. Hallelujah. You can be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Go on and thank him. Go on and shout aloud unto God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Lord, I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. Jesus broke the chains that bound me. I am free, free, free. Life has meaning now for me. I can live in victory because he broke every chain and the Son set me free. Woo! Glory, go on, yes, right, praise him. Get your breakthrough. Just praise him for that breakthrough. Just say, God, I got this problem. God, I got this need. God, it's me. I've come to the end of myself, and God, I know one thing. When I come to the end of me, I'll find you. Woo! When I finally came to the end of me, I found the pearl of great price. His name is Jesus. Glory. 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 Woo! Go on, praise him. I said, go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I am free. Free, free. I am free. Jesus broke the chains that bound me. I am free. Life has meaning now for me. My soul has victory. By the blood of Calvary's cross, I am singing. I am free. See, when I don't know them, I just make them up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. If it doesn't come out right, I say glory, hallelujah, like Brother Jenkins. Brother Jenkins, that song, won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. Won't let a day go by without praising the Lord. I tried to write that thing down. Every time he would sing it different. And I noticed that he would get to a place and it didn't come out right. He said, ow, glory. Put a little soul in there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Hallelujah. So I just sat down one day and I said, Holy Ghost, help me. And I wrote three verses to that song. I sung it somewhere. This quartet said, could we use that song? We'd like to record it. I said, can't give it to you. It's not mine. I said, half of it's mine, half of it's another man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So why don't the things of this world satisfy? It's simply because there's a thirst in our soul for spiritual things that only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your life and make it whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet joy and love and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can take your life and make it whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet joy and love and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You know, the world we live in, they say there are many ways to God. If that's true, then Jesus suffered all that He endured on the cross in vain. Your soul is eternal, and you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Muhammad did not die for your sins. Confucius did not die for your sins. Buddha did not die for your sins. Joseph Smith did not die for your sins. The Pope did not die for your sins. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He bled and He died for your sins. And today, He says, backslider, come to me. Today, He says, sinner, won't you get up and come to me? And He cries that with open arms. I love you, and I forgive you. What keeps you from knowing God intimately like that? Mm-hmm. Yes, I know every pain and every sorrow that touches your life. I know you're lying down and you're rising up. And I came to give you life, to give you eternal life and life more abundantly. And I call to you today, come to me. Come and bring your troubles, bring your heartaches, bring your sorrows. Come. You already know what you can do with them. Give them to me and see what I can do for you. Let us stand.
At the cross, I surrender.
I want everybody, please don't walk out the back door. I want everybody to walk to this altar. I'm coming myself because I have need. Come on, let's come talk to our Savior. Bring your burdens to the Lord. You need special prayer, just raise your hand. I'll come and pray with you. Oh, everything that I am, Lord. Everything I will ever be.
I surrender my life. I'm in awe with you.
Come, Lord, just as I am. I come with my broken pieces, with my broken heart, with my broken dreams.
And my sin washed.
I come, Lord, because you said come. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He said, I thirst so that you could know living water. If he suffered all the pain that he suffered, 6 hours on the cross, 3 hours forsaken of God, what do you imagine hell would be like? He suffered in those 3 hours all that hell could ever deal out. So you and I, we would not have to suffer the pains of hell. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He said, I thirst. Send Lazarus, that old beggar. Let him just put one drop of water on my tongue. Tormented in these flames. Yet today is a day of grace. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The Lord brought you and he brought me here to just remind us of his great love.
Hallelujah.
And the suffering that our Savior endured. Oh, we suffer things in this life, but they're just light affliction compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Just tell the Lord. Sing it, Pastor Ricky. Just tell the Lord what you have need of. Bring it to Jesus. I promise you, you'll make one step toward him. He'll come running to you like the father when he saw the prodigal coming home. Some of you need to come home. Oh, I'm not in sin, Pastor. Well, maybe you are. Maybe you just don't realize it. Maybe it's something you have a grudge or something you need to bring to the cross. Maybe it's a family member. You know, I don't have to know. God knows. God knows what it is. God knows my struggles. He knows my lying down. He knows my rising up. He knows the thought and the intent of my heart. And he loves me in spite of myself. In spite of me, he still loves me. What a God, what a Savior. In spite of me, he loves me.
At the cross, I surrender.